And now, this episode of Flight Risk brought to you by our lovely sponsors at...
Hello, and welcome to The Other Place. The land of Fenrain has been on the brink of doom for years. Necromancers and the dead are rising on the edges of society, threatening life and peace across the land. Deep in the shadows, others try to unearth secret knowledge and unspeakable power. In Season 2, we follow Roberto, Talana, and Teco as they journey from Gilder, fighting the dead on a mission to stop a powerful evil.
So he's just lunging at the first one there. He pulls out the weapon, gets it in both hands, rushes at the first thing, and then kind of leap jump stabs it. That way it can't get a chance to dodge out of the way.
And he goes, freeze frame! And like ice crystals just form over the undead creature, and Tekoa like twists his trident in it and it just shatters.
So I come charging in. I have this great axe, so I use both my hands and I take it over my head and I chop it down, screaming, die, thing!
Technically, it's already undead.
And as it smashes into it, the blade is going to bounce off and make sparks on the ground.
Whoa!
He puffs up his big rabbit cheeks and blows through his teeth, and he gets his loot and brings it down to the chair right up to it, and he starts playing. And he starts going back into his mind. He wants to go into the other side. Wants to go where his ancestors are.
The notes from the lute echo back, and Tekoa hears them taking on a different sort of resonance. Little crystals of ice and frost begin to form around Roberto's feet. When Roberto opens his eyes, the river stretches out on all sides.
Wow. It never seems to not amaze me every time I come here.
Join us for the newest season of The Other Place, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, flight fans. GM as always, Dwayne here. My pronouns are he and him. This episode of Flight Risk stars...
Hey guys, I'm Noah. My preferred pronouns are he, his, they. And I play Skoga, the Trandoshan Marauder, whose pronouns also happen to be he, his, they.
Hello, my name is Ryan. My pronouns are he, him. And I will be playing Bog, the Chadrafon Gunslinger, whose pronouns are also he, him.
I'm Joe Chasm. My pronouns are he, him. And I play Bail Branda, a Mandalorian bounty hunter with a subclass of assassin.
I'm Nimoy. My preferred pronouns are they, them, and I play Dork, the Mandalorian bodyguard.
Let's buckle up. It's time for another Flight Risk episode. Skoga and Bog continue to struggle with the forest magics of the caves of Ilum. Will these mysterious forces allow our adventurers to escape? Become specters in this frozen cave. And I'm going to go ahead and flip a dark side point here. And, the other two don't actually have the communicators, but Doric and Bale can hear, the voice of Kit Cloud Kicker coming back over the radio. And he is in an absolute panic. He's like,
I don't know what you guys are doing down there, but you need to get out. The Sith are on their way.
Kit, do any of them have lightsabers?
Well, there are no lightsabers right now in our universe.
Oh,
no. They would have no lightsabers.
What weapon do Sith and Jedi technically use right now?
Oh, right now they would still have vibro swords because, they'd have either vibro swords. There is a force ability where they can generate a blade in a way. So I guess in theory they could have glowing blades, but not necessarily lightsabers. It's more of a force.
Kit, before you go, how many of them have vibro swords?
There are ships coming down. There are probably dozens of these guys, and I'm going to go, it's safe to say that yes, there are going to be some vibro swords in your future.
Okay, we're going to get out of here as soon as possible. Thank you for the update, Kit. Back to you, friend. And he points over, and he points, oh wait, it's my turn.
So
back to you,
we now have
Doric.
All of a sudden, you're like the local news guy or something.
It is kind of like election week, so like I'm kind of in that whole like news cycle. And back to you, Doric.
So we are at the top of the round. So you guys can now, if you want to, work into your narrations or into your roles, how you guys are going to get out of this cave. The dog situation is kind of pretty much mellowed out. We could say that the ones that are not eating the squid jerky were rightfully scared off by Skoga baring his teeth and being large and menacing. So now you guys are faced with the task of trying to get out of this cave. You do have 4 successes, 1 failure. So right now, 2 successes or 2 failures ends the skill challenge.
I think, real quick, I'll do the boring part first. Doric thinks, and he's like, well, the Sith are here, so the Indiana Jones thing probably didn't do anything. Resilience or discipline and just calmly walk up to try and take the bag, because he doesn't have to expense that stuff.
I'm not even going to make you roll for that. I'm going to say you can go ahead and grab that bag. And when you grab the bag, you hear a very, very loud clacking sound as you trigger a pressure plate.
Oh, no.
And the cavern, this cave that you're in, starts to rumble, and the ceiling starts to crack and start to fall on you. You guys are now facing a cave-in situation because of the bold Mandalorian. So, I think we're...
Ports, guys.
I told you it was a pressure plate.
Hey,
I could have just bought you a new one. All right, we gotta get out of here, guys.
It's got a monogram on it. No time.
Doric, even I knew not to move the bag. Think about it.
All right, so we have...
You're just arguing with one another as we're running out of the cave of this life and death situation. Well, maybe...
And Bog is just flailing his arms quite a ways behind everyone, you know, little legs. And he's like...
I think it's like Kermit the Frog. You know, he's running with his hands.
Blaster's still in hand. Could go off at any second.
All right, so you guys are trying to rush out of this collapsing cave now. Bale, you're up. How are you helping the group get out of here?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer, because right now we have a cave that is falling on top of our heads. I can't protect against the cave. Dogs maybe, but not like an actual cave-in. So what I'm going to do is Kit told us not to go which way, the way the slaves went or the way that we came in.
Well, the way you came in was already from the previous collapse, so you couldn't even go that way really if you wanted to. And, you know, the slaves did have a way they were climbing up that was supposed to be on a different side. You don't know exactly how far away it is from where you were, but it is not the same exit you used.
Okay.
And just to throw it out there, if you did want to try to attack or use your guns, you could easily say that I'm going to use my gun or something to shoot blocks of things from stopping them from hitting people in the head. And that is something you could do if you wanted to use a weapon in this situation.
You're going to make me use my thermal detonators, aren't you?
Because that would really help in a cave-in situation, but sure.
Let's see.
Also, do not forget, you do have I think Anarchy gave you a couple of the face melters, too. I don't know if you want to throw those for funsies.
Well, I mean, like, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity to protect the small guy. I assume that Bog is a lot smaller than everyone else, correct?
That is a safe assumption.
He's a zero, right? So low at zero?
All right, so I am going to use my resilience to try to to basically brush off any rocks that fall from the ceiling over Bog.
You want to take basically bodyguard style, taking rocks that are trying to hit Bog and all hit you instead.
Yeah.
Okay, I dig it. Go for it.
What is the difficulty?
Same. Difficulty doesn't change. One red, two purple, and a black.
I'm going to fail, like, really hard.
You have a light side point to flip. And remember, there's another skill that you're better at. Feel free to use whatever skill you're best at. Like I said before, if you're good with guns, you could say, I'm going to be shooting rocks before they hit.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take out the slug thrower and knock stuff out of the air while I can.
There you go.
That's going to turn three yellows. I'm going to flip a light side point, add a green, and roll. Two successes, one advantage, and a triumph, baby!
Nice. Okay. So, okay. Describe Bale and his awesomeness in go ahead and just blowing away these rocks away from our new lovely Chadrafan friend.
Yeah. So, like, Bale, we're all running down whatever path this cave is setting for us. Bale pulls out his slug thrower, sees like a, I want to say like a bowling ball sized rock just kind of get loose, and it's about to fall over, fall on Bog. He shoots it out of the air. It breaks it in half, and it falls like one piece falls in front of Bog, and the other one falls behind him. And he looks down at Bog and goes, I got you, buddy. Let's move!
Very cool. All right. We'll, just to make it interesting, because I don't want us to keep rolling, because I like this scene. We'll say that that triumph will give an upgrade to the next person. So next is actually Bog, right?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, Bog, that's right. There's my list. So Bog is going to be greatly inspired by his new best friend in the world, Bale, saving his life. And so you're going to get an upgrade whatever role you're going to do here.
Having this opportunity to not get, like, you know, just completely smashed by falling ice, Bog is granted this clairvoyance and tries to chart a way in front of him to best navigate this cave-in with his perceptive abilities. Does his acute senses still apply in this situation? Will it get rid of that setback die?
I think so, because it's just anytime you use your senses, right? That's usually isn't that how it's written?
Yeah.
If you are using your eyes or ears or nose or whatever, I would say it is applicable.
All right, then Bog is going to percept this ish as best as he can. And how many blues did you say I had, Dwayne?
You can upgrade. He had one advantage, so you can actually get an additional blue and then upgrade whatever your colors are.
Well, that's just fantastic. Then Bog's going to do just that.
Wow.
All right. With four successes, one threat and one triumph.
All right.
Bog has an almost out of body experience as the way just becomes so clear to him. And he bolts forward with this newfound vigor.
I will say definitely with the triumph, Bog in some way actually sees a path out of this cave that
the beyond exit sign.
Exactly.
How did we see this before?
There's an escalator to the left that no one noticed for some reason, and it's right there. And yeah, Bog is able to find this path through this cavern that's way easier than climbing up where the slaves went. It's a different route from where the Sith are. And yeah, the four of you guys kind of work your way through this collapsing cave. As it falls behind you, you guys get to the surface and you can see down. You're at the highest point of this now hill, and you can see the skid marks from where Cloud Kicker was before. And there's about four or five kind of like two person speeders with a few armed people that I don't know what the Sith look like in your guys' universe, but Bale and Dork, you guys would recognize right away that these are Sith soldiers kind of milling about, and there's a few that definitely look like something you've never seen before, but they're definitely in that classic Sith gray and black attire.
Well, friends, I think we've got company. Bale's not going to take any chances. He's just going to fire right away.
Yep. Yep.
Bog approves.
That's what Bale's gonna do. I had.
Wait, did you have any other ideas?
Well, I mean, I figured that I would be the type to do a warfare check, but other than that, like, sure, go for it.
Well, I mean, like, they've noticed us, right?
No, they haven't noticed us.
Oh, they haven't noticed us yet.
You're at the top of a hill, you're looking down, and they're milling about kind of at this collapsed entrance of a cave that you guys have gone in. They're inspecting where the speeder that Kit was parked in was there. So they know someone was here. They're kind of looking around, but like in all superhero books, no one ever really looks up. they don't look up at the top of this hill where the four of you guys are kind of crouched or hidden where they can't see. You guys, they're not interacting with you. They're unaware of you.
Oh, now, if okay, you want cool, to cool. That, do that, so, you can do that. So if they are unaware of us, I look. How many of them are down there?
I'd say Kit told you there was about a half dozen of them. So there's like, say, about 4 2-person speeders. So you see six, at least six people. So doing the math, you know there's two that you don't see right now.
How inept do they look? Like, how disciplined do they look?
How inept?
Like, are they stormtroopers? No. This is a valid, legit question. Are they like stormtroopers or are they like elite troopers?
If you want to roll a perception check to see, or either perception, or I'll even let you do a warfare to see if you notice how well trained these guys are.
All right, cool.
And that's open to anybody as well. If you guys want to do perception checks,
I'm just imagining these Sith troopers down there, and like one of them has the classic like dollar bill on a string, and the other guy's like reaching down for it. As soon as he gets close, he gets pulled away. Yeah. Yeah. Very inept.
Are these the Keystone Cops of the Sith?
Yeah. So what's the difficulty?
We'll say three. Make it hard. You guys are at a distance. You can't really see them all that well. I mean, you know them, but we'll see.
One failure and one triumph.
Bale thinks they're badasses, but they're really not.
I don't know if it'd be funnier for him to think that they aren't badasses and they really are, but we'll see. Okay, is anybody else going to do a check, or is Bale the only one rolling against the perception or warfare?
I can roll warfare. Three purple?
Three purple, yes.
Is that... Yep, let's go. Well, I could roll perception, but no, I want this to be fun.
I hate you both so much.
two soccer balls and a triumph.
Me and Dork look at each other and we go inept. Like at the same time.
I don't even know what to do with two triumphs on two failed rolls, guys. This is when we need a pause for a commercial break, as the GM doesn't know what to do here.
Well, Skoga goes forward. He sees those guys, and then he looks at Bale, and he looks at Dork, and then he says, "I think we're all on the same page here." And then he pulls the pin on a frag,
and he just lobs it down
blow
at
up
him.
The speeders, black dot. Dark side, let's blow up those speeders.
Skoga is, are you actually throwing the grenade? Is what we're saying, right? That we're at?
Yeah, I'm just chucking it down the hill.
Okay, so Bale, you see Skoga do what is Bale Bronda's typical maneuver of just throwing a grenade without thinking.
Yeah, no, so Bale looks over at Skoga right away to go, "Hey, that's my cue, but I like your thinking, buddy."
All right, so I assume Bale's going to throw one of his grenades.
No, he pulls out his slug thrower.
You're going to shoot?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
We could dark side point it, because that would blow up the speeders, which I assume we would try to use to get out.
So if Skoga's throwing his grenade, I'll let you do a ranged light. And then Bale, you could also do a ranged, I don't know what your heavy weapon is, if it's a heavy. So if you want to do that, if you both want to do a roll, since you guys have these triumphs, I'm going to let you go ahead and do these rolls before they see. Also, same for Nimoy and Bog. If they want to take a, an action or a shot before these guys react, I'm going to let you guys kind of rain down the fire.
I can use this. I can. We're not doing the you have to use a different skill thing right now. I can just.
No, this isn't a skill.
No, no. This challenge. Is not. We, this is just. Now, nah, nah, we're out of the skill challenge. This is just regular old combat.
And then, yeah, as soon as Bog heard the pin come out of that, his blasters are up.
What okay. distance are we at?
Oh, you're going to be yeah, at, you're going to be at question. Long range. So if your weapon it does not go that far, typically what we do, we just add a black die for every range farther than what you do. So if it's medium or short. So
on this one, I'm going to use Sniper Shot, which is okay. before making a non-thrown ranged attack. May perform a Sniper Shot maneuver to Sniper Shot maneuver to increase the weapon's range by one range band per rank in Sniper Shot. I have one rank in that, so that will. So what's the current range right now?
Long is 3, if I remember.
So now it is medium.
Okay, so you're doing 2 purple.
Yes, and then I am also using Quick Strike, which is add 1 blue per rank of Quick Strike to combat checks against targets that have not acted yet this encounter.
Sure.
So they have not acted. They are looking at this like cave-in and at these speeders, and they're like, oh, hey, look, there's people here. So that would be 2 purple against 3 yellow and a blue. Rolling now. Oh my god! 2 successes, 2 advantages, and a triumph! So.
All right.
Yeah, what happens, okay. Dwayne? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so your triumph. You could.
We've rolled 5 triumphs in a row!
Oh my god, yes, this is ridiculous.
I tell you, you know, the Sky Jedi is being, it must be nice because our guests are here trying to really show them a good time like this. So, so usually with the triumph, you could roll a critical. You could, I don't know, if there's something very narratively cool you want to have happen, I'm open to you explaining something. But I will say, your gun does what damage normally?
My gun? Approximately 7 points of damage. Crit
okay,
5.
So that's 9. So that's 9 with the thing there. Okay, so you're going to kill at least one person. And what do you want that triumph? Do you want to pass on an upgrade to somebody? Do you want to have something narratively happen to the scene? What would you like?
So, I don't shoot any of them. I shoot one of the speeders. I hit it in the battery.
Okay.
The battery goes haywire, explodes. As it explodes, it incapacitates one of them. But everybody is off balance. And I'm going to say that they get black dice on their rolls.
Okay. I'll flip it a little bit and say that I'm going to give blues to the rest of the group as they shoot down, since these guys are now distracted.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a speeder. He hits the speeder, and all of a sudden, the speeder starts flip-flopping around, slamming into things, and they are completely distracted by this chaos below. We'll go with Skoga. You're lobbing a grenade.
Oh, I'm lobbing a grenade. So this is... now, just so I have this right. Because the grenade's range is just short. So I'm going to have the 3 purple from the long range and then 2 blacks because it's the 2 on top. Okay. Because
you're hucking it way farther than it normally would. You do get a blue from Bale. He has 2 other advantages. So if you want to take all three of those, you can actually have 3 blues on your roll to make it.
I'll be a little selfish. I'll take 2 blues, but I'll leave one for somebody else.
One floating? Okay, sure. Right.
Woo! So that is, that's 3 failures and 2 advantages. So as Skoga throws this grenade, it just like, and then it just kind of like hits the side of the hill, and then it just starts rolling down.
All right.
And I... I guess I'll just leave those advantages floating for somebody, because I don't know how you can salvage that. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's more distraction for those guys as they're like
pandemonium.
What's that? They look over. Yeah, they just see something rolling down the side. Like, what, is that a rock? What is that? All right.
How are advantages converted?
How are advantages converted in what way?
I thought that a certain number of advantages equals a blue die.
I am willy-nilly. I just give them however I feel. Sometimes I say one, sometimes I say two. That's so, the fun part of being God for this world. I can choose to do what I want.
So Doric is going to pull up their blaster rifle, and I'm going to use auto fire on this, which raises the difficulty by one. There was one blue die because they were disoriented. Mm-hmm. I think there was one blue die that Skoga didn't spend, and then there I can get one blue die from the advantages.
There's two from Skoga right there, one left over from Bale. So there are three blues floating in the air that, like Mario Kart style, you can grab if you want.
Since this is the one time I've ever used auto fire on this thing, so let's see. We're at long range, so that'll be three, and an extra one because I'm doing auto fire.
Sure. But
if it works, it's going to be great. It worked. Lovely. Three.
All right, so what is auto fire?
I increase the combat check by one. I will deal an additional hit to a target or another target within range. So I get to hit a second time, basically.
Okay, right on.
And because of my specialization, this is the one time I'm interested in mechanics at all. I add one damage per. to one hit of successful attack. Will that go for both or just for the first one?
I like it going for both. It sounds more interesting.
Okay. So cool. So I doubled my damage and three successes would be, each success total. Okay. So that's 13, plus the one. So that's 14. That is 14 twice.
So you just dropped 28 points of damage on these guys?
Wow. This is the one time I get to do this because the bodyguard talent for this is so weird. I'm never at long range. Bodyguards are supposed to be close to things.
All right. Describe it. Doric is just raining down, Mustafarian fire on these guys. What does it look like?
There is this shot. So this explosion goes off, and these people are knocked out, of course. And these blaster shots landing all around them. And then they look up, and they see this man in Mandalorian armor. Silhouetted perfectly against the cold blue sky, with armor that almost matches it, with this giant black blaster. More advanced than a lot of the things that they've seen, except maybe for officers. Just wailing fire down on them, just spraying them. Everything goes red as the area is just covered, and we see it smash through the frame of a speeder, knock one of them off course as it hovers away. Just pandemonium.
Okay, so
it's all set to very tasteful classical music.
Of course, it has to be. We're if anything, Flight Risk, we are classy. So,
is there slow motion involved?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. This was made by the cinematography is sort of like almost Michael Bay-esque.
Say that's exactly what that is.
Tarantino. It goes on for entirely too long. Ever. And you could tell they spent like all of the budget on this sequence.
The whole episode, but everything else was looking crappy this whole episode because we saved all of our money for this moment, guys. Cardboard cutouts, plastic monsters. That's what it looked like. We saved all our CGI budget for this. All right. So
the dogs were only polygons.
Exactly. It looked like 8-bit Super Nintendo style dogs, All right, so that's going to wipe out that's going to leave us with just two more of some Sith down there. And we are now on to Bog. Bog, these guys are now just panicked, and they now looking up at you. They see this hellfire coming down. How does Bog try to disperse these last two guys?
So let me calculate all these dice, because Bog, he's got his two blasters. He's gonna aim at, because he's going guns blazing here, so he's gonna suffer a couple strains so that doesn't get upped in difficulty even more, because he's long range now. So that's going to be three purples. You said he has a black die, right? Or no?
No, I didn't give any.
Oh yeah,
I didn't give a black die right now. I was going to say you're going to get a blue because these guys are now panics. So I'll give you at least one blue for them being panicked from all their friends dying around them.
He's going to get another two blue because these Sith have not acted yet in this encounter, and he's got two ranks of quick strike. And I guess he's just gonna start blasting. All right, here we go.
Cool. All right. Two successes, two advantage. How much damage does Bog do here?
Two successes, two advantage. So his first blaster. Oh, and he actually, because his one blaster is superior, it generates one advantage.
Oh, okay. So that gives you three advantages?
Yes.
Okay.
So then that allows me to, I'll spend two of those to use the second blaster.
Oh, cool.
Then that first blaster is going to go rain down with 10 damage, and the second one will do 11 damage. And because Bog is a gunslinger with his Spitfire talent, he's going to direct that one of those at one and the other at the other remaining guy.
Perfect.
So split that damage up.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, those two guys kind of, after seeing their friends get just mowed down, turn and look up to try to eyeball this Mandalorian who's standing there all majestically. And before they can even pull their guns, they're just mowed down by a smaller silhouette that's just right to the left. And there's and a small chatter fan with his two blasters or slug throwers. I'm sorry. What are you building?
Blasters. Yeah.
Two blasters and just rapid fire shots just right into their domes, and they just collapse to the ground. And it's kind of oddly quiet. There's some sputtering speeders that are kind of still smoking and stuff, but yeah, the scout troop of Sith soldiers has been dispersed. And it is now, like, kind of oddly quiet for the four of you. You stand there looking down at the chaos you have wrought.
Dork is rapidly, we can see the little GUI in Dork's helmet as he is rapidly scrolling through a text file named Cool One-Liner. Fine.
He looks down to see Bog with like a little notepad, like a big, just different lines and on the really top and really bad handwriting, and just says zingers. And he's like,
and at the same time, they say, looks like it's all downhill.
Like it's all downhill from here. Oh, damn it. And Bog's like looking up at you, should I? Oh, okay. Just one.
I have no idea how this is going to turn out.
It's going to be fun of it. So yeah, you guys are kind of left there alone, and you hear Doric and Bale on your communicators that Kit is calling you back and going, "What was that? Are you guys okay? What happened?"
Oh, Kit. Hey, yeah, we're fine. So we did have a little trouble coming out of the cave. Well, it wasn't really trouble that we couldn't have avoided. It was really trouble that we could have avoided.
Whoa.
But you know.
Bale, who you talking to? Who you talking to?
I'm talking to my buddy Kit.
All right, tell Kit that we had to do it. All right, it was them or us.
Well, Skoga disagrees. Skoga said that we had to do it. But you know what? Hey, look.
What's a Skoga? What happened? Who's Skoga?
Don't worry about it. I'll explain later when we get back.
No, Bale, put me on the phone.
Oh, here. So he takes out his communicator and hands it to Skoga.
This is Skoga.
Kicking at the bodies and stuff. Just arguing.
Yeah, Kit is he's a drawl, so it's a smaller voice. He's, hello?
Yeah, this is Skoga. All right, now. Now, what's your name?
My name's Kit Cloudkicker.
Kit Cloudkicker. All right. Well, while you were up there kicking clouds, we were kicking some serious butt down here. All right. We needed to do this. All right. Now, Bale, he's a real stand-up guy. But you know, he says, oh, we could have avoided. I don't think they could have seen us coming. There was a big hill, and then there were explosions, so you don't gotta be worried about anything, all right? But me and Bale, we got this. Well, actually, you know what? If I'm being honest, everyone else had it covered.
Ah, oh, don't sell worry. Yourself short, Skoga. You did fine. Yeah. Hey, you did exactly what I would have done in that exact situation. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, we're two birds of a feather.
You guys are so supportive. You know, my employer, his name is Drell. He just makes fun of me. He just says, Skoga, you're terrible. And you guys, you're real stand-up guys.
I'll tell you something. You would make a great Mandalorian, all right? I mean, the helmet might be a bit of a large job to get it fit on you, but other than that, I think you'd be great.
Wow, that really means a lot. Anyway, Kit, I think I've kept you on the line for long enough.
Thanks. It was nice talking to you, Mr. Skoga.
Yeah, get the ship ready. We'll be on our way. Sure. You guys have a ship, right?
Yeah, of course we have a ship. It's Starhawk. Okay,
yes. The Starhawk, yes. Get the Starhawk ready. We'll be there momentarily.
Oh, hey, Kit, if you're back at the ship, did those four, well, you know, free people actually stop by?
I didn't go back to the ship. I just took off. I wasn't going to get caught by any Sith, man.
Okay, well, I'll go find out.
I'm circling back. Yeah, I'm circling back. I'll be back soon.
All right.
I can pick you guys up.
All right, Kit, I'll see you. I'll see you in a little bit then.
So, gentlemen, he says, Doric says, slapping the side of a speeder, let's ride.
Yeah! So, the speeder, because there's only one now.
Let's be clear.
So, like clown car style, the four of you try to balance on a two-person speeder, I guess.
Yeah.
Why'd I have to use the automatic?
It's all right. I got Bog on my shoulders. We're good.
Gladly.
So, we're going to have, as you guys are kind of driving off to meet Kit, with that pat on the back that Doric gave to Skoga was a little harder than he expected. And hit him just right in the back where that egg happened to be. And as you guys are jostling and moving and kind of squeezed together, you hear a kind of a crack and a crinkling of glass. And Skoga and Bog, you start to feel kind of like tingles all over your body, as almost like static electricity, or maybe you walked into a spider web. And
hey, Doric, cut that out.
Kind of small little flecks of electricity start jumping from Skoga's back, slowly engulfing the two of them. And I don't know if there's a last line you want to say before you disappear. I don't know if there's something you want to say, like mid-sentence, we can cut you off.
Bog is just like looking at his hands, turning them over in awe as he starts to be encompassed by this energy. And he looks down at Skoga and he's like, I think it's happening. And then he looks between his legs at Bale and kind of leans over.
Hey,
like,
why are you going in and out of Technicolor?
We're going bad. And Bog is just holding on to Bale for dear life. And he's like, oh, you two were so competent. I'm going to miss this.
No, don't leave us, Bog. Don't. No.
Bog, yes, you can stay, Bog. It's fine.
In a bright flash where the Trandoshan and Trandoshan were once sitting, we see that our Twi'leks of Skip and Anarchy are back where Bog was sitting on the shoulders of Bale. Skip is now on the shoulders of Bale, balanced precariously. Anarchy is in between Doric and Bale, and the whole speeder kind of shudders and comes to a stop as the energy from the broken holocron has shorted out the speeder and you guys slow to a stop. Your two new friends have been disappeared. Your old friends are back. And you guys can see Kit Cloud Clickers kind of larger speeder coming over the hill towards you guys as fast as he drawly can drive.
Bog! No!
He was... It is painful to think of someone so competent. He lost them.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please head over to the podcast service of your choice and leave us a review. Every review helps more people find the show. If you want to help the show out, please spread the word on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Flight Risk Pod and on Facebook. If you want to help us in a monetary fashion, you can head over to Patreon and help support the show. Follow Skip and Anarchy as their adventure takes them to the Flash Fantasy Skeleton Crew podcast. There's a link in the show notes.
Cut for
we
one
gotta
second.
Walk home.
Sure. What's
cut
up,
for
Joe?
One second. Nimoy, at the same time, we're going to say the word inept. Okay? So 3, 2, 1, go.
Inept.
Oh, hold on. Let me get into character. Do it in character. 3, 2, 1, go. Inept.
You guys do realize with the magic of editing, I can line up your dialogue perfectly.
Oh, okay, fine. So okay, I'm just going to say,
as fast as many times as possible. Yeah. Inept.
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 Oh, wait, hold on. Inept.
I like the idea of the other two inept. You guys as you're having Tourette's right now saying inept over and over again.
Inept. There we go. That's the one.
No, I like the idea better of Bale and Dork looking at each other and then inept.
No, you. Yeah. Okay. No, I said inept first.
One, two, three. Inept. No, are we going on three? We going on go. Like,
all right, so if this was actually a Star Wars production, this is probably where we throw our hidden Mickey in there. Yes, it'd be a little Mickey Mouse inside there.
And like Elsa's like throwing like a snowball at like Donald Duck, and Donald Duck's not having it, and then Scrooge McDuck is like kind of sliding on a sled with his nephews, and like he's looking all like flustered and scared while the nephews just have their hands in the air and they're like, going down the hill.
Pretty extensive Easter egg. Wow.
Wow.
Some intern spent a lot of time on that one.
Some poor Korean animators must have spent 2 weeks on it.
Oh, man.
All right.
Ooh, that's Square Enix.
Let's have everyone roll a perception check for me, please, against two red and a purple.